Okay, there are three readings, three short readings over the Exodus. Are they going to be up on the screen or not up on the screen? No. Okay, so you actually have to use your listening ears. All right. Exodus 6. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. And moving forward in Exodus to Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amounts of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, and then all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with the bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, the legs, and the internal organs. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some of it is left until morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both the people and the animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And then moving forward a little bit more. Verse 21. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and both sides of the door frame. None of you should go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the tops and the sides of your doorframe, and he will pass over that doorway. He will not permit the destroyer to enter into your households and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron.
Freedom. It's something we all long for, physical, mental, and spiritual freedom. It's something the people of Israel longed for as they were brutally enslaved under the might of the Egyptians. It's been 400 long years of the people being cruelly oppressed, harsh forced labor, ruthlessly overworked, beaten, slaves under the power of Pharaoh. They're groaning, crying out for freedom, but there's no hope. What can they do? They're slaves. They can't free themselves. And we are like the Israelites. We're slaves too. Sure, we live in a free country, but in reality, we're enslaved by both external and internal forces. The external forces of our culture have a powerful hold over us. The pull of consumerism, the distraction of the digital age, the snare of busyness, the idolatry of money and power and sex. This will make you happy, they call. This will make you free. But they lie as the chains of their empty promises tighten around us. But it's not just out there, it's in here, in our hearts. We're slaves to sin, slaves to living selfishly, slaves to trying to prove ourselves, slaves to fear, to despair, to anger, and ultimately slaves to death, the master we can't escape. Now, you might not recognize yourself as a slave, or perhaps you're all too aware and you're groaning, crying out for rescue. We long for freedom, freedom from the chains of the world out there, freedom from the chains in here. But where does that freedom come from? Well, the source of freedom is God. God hears the groaning of the Israelites. His heart of compassion is moved by their suffering. He remembers his covenant. And then he promises to free them. In the Exodus 6 passage, 7 times God says, "I will. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. I will bring you to the land I promised, and I will give it to you as a possession." God is a God who promises freedom, and he's a God who keeps his promises. And freedom flows from his heart for his people and from his saving power. In the passage, 4 times, he says, "I am the Lord." Freedom is something that is bound up in God's identity. It's part of who he is. He is the God of freedom who will rescue his people. God was Israel's only hope, and he's our only hope. If we're looking anywhere else, we're going to be disappointed. We need to come to him for freedom. But how does God bring about this freedom? God brings freedom by bringing judgment. He brings judgment on Egypt, and his reason? "I am the Lord," because he is God, and they are not, but they've tried to live without him. And this is where there's a problem, because the Israelites themselves would be caught up in God's judgment too. So how can God free his people with judgment when he needs to free them from judgment? Here's the answer. We find out in Exodus 12. God will provide them a way out, and he gives them instructions to follow. So each household is to take a perfect lamb and slaughter it. Then they're to take some of the blood and to put it up on the top and the sides of the doorframe, as we saw illustrated as we came in. Then they're to stay inside all night while the Lord goes throughout the land to bring judgment on Egypt by striking down every firstborn. but he'll leave the Israelites alone. Why? Well, for freedom to be won, for life to be claimed, all that is wrong in the world has to be judged by God. And judgment brings death. We're told in the book of Leviticus that the life of a creature is in its blood, and it's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. So when blood is shed, life has been taken. It's a sign of judgment being carried out. So as the Israelites follow God's instructions, painting the doorway with the blood of a perfect lamb, judgment has been taken by the lamb. The blood offers protection from them having to face judgment for themselves. So as God passes through bringing judgment on Egypt, he sees the blood of the Israelite houses and passes over them. They're safe. They're free. And God then delivers them from the hands of the Egyptians by leading them through the Red Sea. But what about our freedom? Well, the rescue of the Israelites at the first Passover points us forward to the ultimate Passover. Nearly 1,500 years later, Jesus arrives on the scene. And as we heard earlier, John the Baptist sees him walking along one day and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the true Passover lamb, perfect, without defect or blemish. Yet 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." He was sacrificed. His blood was shed. His life was taken. And judgment, our judgment, was carried out on him when he died on the cross. His blood shields us and protects us from having to face judgment ourselves. And as we see him bleeding love for us as he dies, as he hangs there on the cross, we trust in him for our freedom, and the things that enslave us lose their power. So now we're free from those external masters of the world. We're free internally from the power of sin and failure, fear and despair. And we're free from death because Jesus has rescued us, given us a secure hope of life beyond the grave. Our hearts are moved by his sacrifice, his selflessness, his love for us. And like the Israelites, we move to worship him. We're no longer slaves. Do you know that? You are set free. Whatever has enslaved you no longer has power. Because Jesus died for you. He said, "God has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free." And that reality, that freedom, is ours in him. Let's pray. Lord God, mighty, powerful, gracious, and loving, we cry out to you. We cry out to you for freedom. We long to be free from the power of sin and death. We long to experience and enjoy the freedom that you offer. Help us to know that you are our only hope. Thank you for Jesus, the true Passover lamb, who sacrificed his life to break the power of sin and death, to free us from judgment, that we might be free. We pray that we would receive that freedom by your grace. We ask it in his name and for your glory. Amen.